Enjoyed that, didn't you? Amen. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Psalms 112, verses 1 through 7. You heard a statement it's before most of you's lifetime, but Franklin Delano Roosevelt, I'm kind of bouncing a little bit, made a statement when we were facing a crisis as a nation that there's nothing to fear but fear itself. That's when the Japanese, and I wanted to use that as a title this morning. Psalms 112, verses 1 through 7 says, "Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil," or evil tidings. "Shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord." I think all of us, and it's been said that the cold death or breath of fear knows all ages and every walk of life. Some people are afraid, literally, to go out to the supermarket or to the mall for afraid of being mugged or even killed. Others are afraid that they may not be able to find a job that they can provide for their family. Parents are afraid that when the phone rings next, it will bring some bad news about their children. Sick folks are afraid of what the doctor might say when they go for their appointment. Thousands are afraid of the future. Yeah, I could say millions are afraid of the future. Fear is one of the great enemies of successful and victorious living. A few years ago, a group of distinguished scholars met in Chicago, Illinois, and they listed some things that, they painted a very gloomy picture of the next 25 years. They reported that a person may well live to be 100 years of age, but during that time, he will probably see the world run out of oil and natural gas. There will be massive droughts across America and accompanying famine, and that a major American city will be leveled by an earthquake. You think, my, what a gloomy forecast. But in spite of all of that, I think the future does have great possibilities. You see, fear is like a little bit of ink in a glass of water. A little bit will go a long ways. Fear does not depend on how good or how bad conditions are. It depends on our response to the situations. Fear can tie you up in knots. It can paralyze your actions and your thinking. But what is fear? Webster says that fear is a painful emotion marked by alarm, dread, or disquiet. It is a response to what we think to be unpleasant. Fear is as old as sin itself. You remember back in the Garden of Eden, after Adam and Eve had sinned against God and they realized that they were naked before God, the Bible said, for fear they went and hid themselves from God among the trees. Now, since that day, fear has followed every member of the human race. We see babies that have fear. We see it in childhood, teenage years, and even in adult years. But not all fear is bad. A fear that keeps a child from stepping out into the street before they look both ways is a good thing. It may save their life. And then the fear of not stopping at a stoplight or a stop sign may save a life from a serious accident. You see, not all fear is bad. But above all, the Bible says we need to fear God and keep His commandments. Fear is the beginning of wisdom. In Psalms 103, David reminds us that God's blessings are only for those that fear Him. You know, I do fear God this morning. I am in awe of Him. I don't have that knee-knocking type fear as a Christian, but I am in awe of God. He is an all-powerful, omniscient, omnipresent God. I am in awe of Him. So we need to have some fear. You remember in Psalms 103, David reminds us that God's blessings are for those that just fear Him. Now, the key to overcoming fear is faith. Faith in God. We know that He loves us. We know that He holds our future in His hands. We know that our God is mindful of what we go through, and faith does not have to live in fear. Now, in Revelation 21, verse 8, it states what will keep you out of heaven. And we know the unbelieving are there, but it starts out in Revelation 21, 8, that, but the fearful, and the unbelieving, the abominables, the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire, and this is the second death. Now, when David was hounded by King Saul, he prayed this prayer in Psalms 34. He said, I sought the Lord, and He heard me and delivered us from all of our fears. He goes on in verse 7. He says, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him and delivereth him. We can depend on the Lord. Now, I know we're human. And I know that there are times that we fret and we worry about what is going to happen in the future. But God's in control of the future. And God will help us through it, and He will not allow us to be tempted above what we're able to stand, but will, with the temptation, trial, or difficulty, He'll make a way of escape for us. Now, it says in Psalms 23, verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And it says in Psalms 27, 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? O fear the Lord, ye His saints, for there is no want to them that fear Him. What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. I will say to the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. I'm telling you this morning that we can depend on the Lord. We don't have to worry. We don't have to fret. We've got someone that can help us, and He will take care of us and see us through. Well, as you face the future, what fears threatens your peace? Psychologists tell us that there are four basic fears that plague us as people. But the comforting truth is that God, in His Word, provides a solution for each of these fears. First of all, there's the fear of want. You may be haunted by this fear of want. What if I lose my job? What if I cannot provide for my family? What if I take a cut in salary? What if I am sick and cannot work? What if my family is sick? or my bills outstrip my income. You know, we all have a lot of worries, and I can tell you this morning, don't worry, you know. But I also know that that's not reality. But the Bible says these are not legitimate fears, because God is the great provider. Now let me read what it says in Matthew 6, the Sermon on the Mount, verse 30 through 32. Jesus said, "Wherefore, in light of what he had previously said in that sermon, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more take care of you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of these things." Now, have we ever gone without having our needs supplied? You know, I've had some slim times in my life, and I'm sure all of you have. But God has always been faithful. He has always provided. So the question is, can Jesus supply your needs? Is he sufficient? Is he faithful? Will he do what he promised? Can you count on his love this morning? So the issue here is one of fear or faith. Remember what David said? He said, "I have been young and now am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." The fear of want. There's also the fear of suffering. Are you facing the fear of suffering this morning? Some of you are. We certainly know what suffering is. There's pain of body. There's pain of spirit. You see, sometimes people can hurt you with cutting words and mean actions. Sometimes, you know, we're just human and we can be hurt. But I'm here to tell you that God will take care of you if you'll put it in his hands. You know, I've always said that, you know, God's going to take care of things. He'll right wrongs. When it's all said and done, he'll right the wrongs. I don't need to try and involve myself in trying to right all the wrongs or the difficulties or have spite because someone mistreated me and lose the blessings God has in store for me. You see, I am to love God and love my neighbor as myself. You see, as a child of God, we may go through some sufferings. We may face some difficulties, but our God is able to see us through. We fear sickness, we fear sorrow, we fear loneliness and grief, but God can help us. He will not shield you now from all sorrow and all grief, because that's a way of life. You know, I wish that everything would be just like it was in the Garden of Eden, but because of sin, we're not there. And we'll never be there again. Unless we have peace with God, we will have fears that sometimes we can't control in our hearts and lives. I remember when I pastored at Star City, Arkansas, and I hadn't been there very long, and there was a report that there was a lady in town that had been taken to the Pine Bluff Hospital, about 28 miles to the north. And so I went to see her. Now, she had been out of church. Her husband was not saved. Class and Odessa McElroy, that was their names. And I went up to see her every day. And I prayed with her. And she was so impressed that somebody cared for her that she promised me, I'll start coming to church. Well, she did. When she got out of the hospital, she started coming to church, rededicated her life, and her husband was one of those guys that would do anything in the world for you, but he was lost. Sometimes the good folks are the hardest to reach. And I worked with him for about 5 years, And the Sunday before I was, or two Sundays before I was to leave and go out to West Texas, if there was ever a time in my life that I wondered if I was in the will of the Lord, it was that year in West Texas. But anyway, we won't go there. But that Sunday before, I gave the invitation, and Class McElroy got up out of his seat, a very quiet man, and he walked down the aisle. He said, "Preacher, I don't want you to leave until I get saved, and I want you to baptize me before you go." I'm going to tell you, it blessed my heart, but it all started when she was going through a time of difficulty, sickness, and pain. Suffering may be for the glory of God. It may be for the accomplishment of His purpose. It may be that it will refine our character, but whatever the reason, we can trust God who permits it and leave the outcome in His hands. Our God is able. He is in control. Often, suffering provides an opportunity for us to know the presence and the upholding power of Christ in a way that we otherwise would never have known had we not gone through that difficult time. The Apostle Paul, in his second letter to the Corinthian church, states three times, he said, "Lord, will you move this affliction from me? Will you take this thorn of my flesh away?" Three times he said, "I prayed," and he said, "No." God said, "No." And he said to me, "Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness," your weakness. And he said, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." So we need not have any fear for sufferings, because we know that our God is in control of every circumstance. And when He permits problems to come our way, He will use it for His glory and for our good. He is still on the throne, and He will take care of us. The fear of suffering. There's also the fear of failure. A common fear is falling short. Maybe in school, not making the grade, being held behind for another year, or maybe not being able to do the job that they hired you to do. Maybe in social situations you don't measure up. Maybe in the competitions of life, whether it be a sporting team or on the job or some other thing, that you don't measure up. We all want to do well. We all want to rise to the top. We all want to achieve. We fear failure because we rely upon ourselves and not the Lord. We want our desires and not His. Let me give you an example. Samuel Johnson made this statement. He said, "Nothing will be attempted if all possible obstacles must first be removed." The first step to succeeding. Too many of us don't make it to the top of the ladder because we don't try often enough. An example. In 1915, Ty Cobb set the record for stolen bases with 96. 7 years later, a young man by the name of Max Carey of the Pittsburgh Pirates became the second best with 51 stolen bases. Now, does this mean that Cobb was twice as good as Carey, who was his closest rival? Well, look at the facts. Cobb made 144 attempts, Carey only 53. Cobb failed 58 times, Carey only failed twice. Cobb succeeded 96 times, Carey only 51 times. Cobb average was simply 71%, Carey's 96%. Carey's average was much better than Cobb's. Cobb's tried 81 more times than Carey, but here's the key. His 81 additional tries produced 44 more stolen bases. Cobb risked failure 81 more times in one season than his closest rival, and he goes down in history as the greatest base runner of all time. Why? Because he refused failure. You know, Babe Ruth hit a whole lot of home runs, 714, but do you know that he struck out 1,330 times in the process? He wasn't worried about a slump. He just said, I'll just keep swinging. It'll eventually change. Well, fear of failure. I think as we look at this fear of failure, God is concerned with faithfulness and uprightness of character. And if we set our sights on doing God's will, he'll help us to be successful. I just believe that if you work hard, you love God, and you love people, God will bless you. He'll bless you. God works in that way. Hebrews 11 is a roster of the great heroes of the faith. It's made up of men and women who are like-minded, just like you and me. They're not any different from us, but these are individuals who made it the business of their life not only to believe God, but to do his will. And you look at men like Abraham that had a vision of that city that God was preparing for those that love him. And he said, I'm just a pilgrim and a stranger. I'm just passing through. But I am looking for that city beyond this veil of tears, and I know it's there. You see, he wasn't worried about what might happen today or tomorrow. He left out from the Ur of Chaldees, not even knowing where he was going to go, but he went under God's tutelage and God's direction. And God took him where he wanted him to be. Well, Joshua 1 gives us three rules for success. Go forward, trust God, and be guided by his word. God's promise is, I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. And then finally, there's the fear of death. Probably the greatest fear of all is this fear of death. 1 Corinthians 15:26 tells us that the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. That's good news. That's good news to us that are here and we're alive, and the good news is because Christ died for us. You see, he went to the cross of Calvary. That's why he came into the world, that he might die in our stead, that he might take our place. He robed himself in human flesh, lived among us for 33 years, and at the end of that time on earth, he took himself up to that cross on Golgotha's mountain. They nailed him to that tree, and they crucified him there, and he shed his lifeblood so that we wouldn't have to. He died so that we would not have to die, and he took the stinger out of death. Aren't you glad of that? You know, as we face death, and we all do, whether it's now, whether it's in the future, whether it's in the past, I'm telling you, the stinger is gone. We don't have to fear death. Now, it hurts us that are alive and remain because we're giving up one that we love. But our God is able. And we hurt because of giving up loved ones, but we know they're in a better place. This is how we get to heaven. There's no other way unless the Lord comes and raptures us out. We're all going to die. And so I just want to trust him, and I know that he will be sufficient for whatever my needs are in that hour. We celebrated Christmas because God became man. He was born in that lowly stable. But why did Jesus come? He came in order to become one of us, to deliver us from death. The writer of Hebrews tells us that Jesus took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. You know, It says in Revelation 20 that death and hell and Satan are going to be cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. So we don't have to worry about death. It's not going to hang around. Jesus has already taken the stinger out. David said in Psalms 34, I sought the Lord. He heard me, and he delivered me from all of my fears. God delivers us in this fear-filled world from all of our fears, but only as we believe and trust in him. The question is fear or faith? General Douglas MacArthur appeared before Congress on April the 19th, 1951. After being relieved of his duties by President Harry S. Truman, his address ended with these very moving words. He said, "The world has turned over many times since I took the oath on the plane at West Point. And the hopes and the dreams have long since vanished, but I still remember the refrain of one of the most popular barrack ballads of that day, which proclaimed most proudly that old soldiers never die. They just fade away." And he said, like the old soldier in that ballad, I now close my military career and just fade away. An old soldier who tried to do his duty as God gave him the sight to see that duty. Being faithful. When it's all said and done, when this world is wrapped up like a scroll and time will be no more, all that counts is being faithful. We don't have to fear today or tomorrow if we have faith. Our God is able. Do you believe that this morning? Amen. He is able. Whatever you find yourself going through today, tomorrow, sometime in the future, always remember God is able. Oh, sure, we're going to hurt and we're going to have our tears. That's normal for us that are left behind. But those that have gone on, we would never call them back because they've gone to a far, far better place. So I ask you the question this morning, for you, is it fear or do you have faith? If you don't have that faith this morning, you can have it before you leave here today. Coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ in the free pardon of sin is the greatest privilege that you've ever been given. And I hope that if you're not ready to meet the Lord this morning, that you will come to these altars and meet me down front and let God have his way in your life. Let's bow for prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, we just want to say thank you this morning for meeting with us. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Thank you, Lord, for the confidence we have in you that you're in charge and you're in control and you'll not allow us to be tried above what we're able to bear, but you'll help us through it. And God, we rely upon you and we trust you for that. But Lord, I pray if there's one here this morning that's not ready to meet you, a mom, a dad, a young person, Lord, may this be the time that they step out and come to the altar and say, Lord, I want to live a life of faith. I know that I too will have to pass that way as is appointed for us to die and then judgment. But Lord, I pray that you would help them to want to be able to meet you in peace. knowing that they've given their heart and life for you and they've lived for you. Lord, I pray that you'll bless each decision that's made here today, that it'll be the right decision. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together.